The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Truma. This week's Parsha we have the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to build the Mishkan, the sanctuary. As it states, V'osu li Mishkan, V'shochanti b'seichom, V'osu li Migdosh, V'shochanti b'seichom. You shall make for me a sanctuary, so I may dwell amongst you. Sages tell us that the sanctuary represented a miniature entire world and the entire person. Now, three of the major objects which we were commanded to build and to place into the Mishkan was, one is the Oren, as it states, V'osu Aren Atzei Shitim, that you shall make an Oren, an ark, out of Shitim wood, and there was going to be placed the Luchais, the tablets of stone of the Ten Commandments and the Sefer Torah which Moshe wrote. Following that, we have Osisa Shulchan Atzei Shitim. You shall make a table of shitim wood, and there would be the Lechem Aponim. These are the loaves of bread that were placed there during the week and removed on Shabbos. And at the end of next week's Sedra, we have Osisa Mizbeach Mikdak Teres, an altar we were commanded to make. The altar of incense, which was the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar. By each of these, the Torah commanded us that we should make a crown of gold around the top of it. As it states by the Oren in Pasuk Yud Aleph at the beginning of the Sedra, V'osisa lov zer zohov saviv. You shall make a crown of gold around it. By the Shulchan, Pasukhov Dalet, it states with Tzipisa Yisrei Zohov Tohor V'asisa Leizer Zohov Tzaviv. It should be made of gold, and you shall make a gold crown around it. And also by the Mizbeach, by the altar, it states V'asisa Leizer, this is in Pasuk Gimel, Shmeis Chof Tes, Shmeis Lamed, Pasuk Gimel, that you shall make a golden crown around it. The Gemara in Masechet Yuma, Daf Ein Beis Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shleish Zirim Hein, we find three crowns, Shel Mizbeach, Shall Oren v'shul Shulchan. From the Mizbeach, from this altar, from the Oren, from the Ark, v'shul Shulchan, and from the table. What are they? So tell us that each one represents a crown. Each one represents a different quality. A supreme perfection, which were given to Israel. Shel Mizbeach, the crown of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach represents Kuhuna, the priesthood, Zoha Aaron. This was given to Aaron. Aaron and his family, Unatole, and he took it. Shel Shulchan, the crown of the Shulchan. Shulchan represents Malchus, kingship, Zoha David. This David acquired. He merited it. Unatola, and he took it. Shel Oren of the Oren, the Ark. This represented the Torah, because the Torah was placed in the Oren. A Dain Munachu, that nobody has taken possession of it exclusively. It's still there for anyone to come and take it. Kol areitze likach, yovev yikach. Whoever wants to come and take, let him come and take. Shema teimar pochusu. Maybe you'll say that it, since it's not exclusive as the others, so it's less than the others. Talmud Leimar, he brings a pasuk from Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei is Mishlei Ches. Pasuk Tes Vov and Tes Ein. Bi Melochim Yimlechu V'reiznim Yechekeku Tzedek V'yisorim Yosoru V'nedivim Kol Shefti Oretz. The Torah says, I am the one who causes kings to reign. I am the one who, Roznim, this is another terminology of a ruler. I am the one who causes the rulers to rule with righteousness. Bisorim Yosoru. Asar, this is another terminology of rulers. I am the one who causes the rulers to rule. Unedivim kol shefti oretz. And also, I cause the divim, another expression of rulers, to judge the land. Rashi tells us in Masechet Yuma, "Begodla manlich min amelech v'ateir omer mikruzeh." The one who makes kings is greater than the king himself. And the Torah is expressing this. So therefore we see that of the three crowns, even though the others were exclusive, the crown of Torah is the greatest. For a little more precise explanation, in this Pasuk, the Vilna Gaon in his Pirush on Mishlei says as follows. He says, a king is the overall ruler. Bi Melochim Yimlechu, I am the one who causes the kings to rule, the Torah says. Reisnim Hema Mechekekim Das B'din Eich Lishanik, they are what we would call the legislatures, parliament. They are the ones who write the laws. See, the king doesn't write the laws. They're the ones who write the laws. Reisnim. So Yechekeku Tzedek, I am the one, the Torah says, who causes them to write laws of righteousness. Because how do legislatures in the world know what kind of laws to write? If you study law, you'll know what there's called common law. Common law is a law which was common to all nations. Where did this come from? This came from the laws of the Torah, the laws which were given to the first people, and certainly by Israel. So the Torah says, you make laws, you write laws. But today we have different systems. Today we have what people call democracy, so the people can write whatever laws they want. But there was a time when the law was above man, and you couldn't just write whatever laws you wanted, and you could not just change whatever laws you wanted. So who wrote those laws? Where did they come from? The Torah prides itself that it came from me. The common laws, laws which were common to the entire world, they have their sources in the Torah. The king, Reim Shiskaim Sakadin, it is the king who, his responsibility is to make sure that the laws are carried out. The Sorim, Asar, Heim HaKfuim B'chol HaYores, V'sheftim V'lpi P'sak Din Sheposko HaReiznim. The Sar, they are the rulers of each city, and they rule in accordance to the laws which were written. And the Nedivim, they are under the Sorim. They see that the laws are fulfilled. They are like the Shotrim, the Sori Elef. Why are they called Nedivim? Nediv means a person who, Nediv Lev, we have in our Sedra, means a person who is generous. He says, because Slichim Ashaitrim Liyais Nadibim Vilayak Zorim, Vilayave Betsa. They have to be people who are very generous and not people who want self gain. So the system is where the Reisnim write the laws. The Melech, he sees that these laws are carried out. The Sorim, they are the governors of every province and every city, and they judge it in accordance to the laws. And the Nedivim are those who are under the governors, the court system, to make sure that the laws are fulfilled. And all of these, the Torah says, Bi Melochim Yimleichu, I am the one who gives the counsel to the kings, how they can be kings. Bereiznim Yechaikuku Tzedek, and to the parliaments, how to write the laws. Bi Sorim Yosoru, and to the governors, how to govern with these laws. Unedivim Kol Shefte Oretz, and to the courts, that these laws should be carried out properly. So therefore, the crown of Torah is above the others. Then Rabbi Yochanan carries on. He continues. Rabbi Yochanan Ramikshiv Zor Vikarinan Zer. Actually, the way it's written Zayin Resh, which means actually Zor. And it's called Zer. A Zor or a Zar means a stranger. A Zer with a Yud means a crown. So why is it written as a Zor or a Zar? And it's read as a Zer. Zocho nasis le Zer. Le Zocho Zor heimeno. Rashi says, if you study Torah, or if you labor in these areas, and you labor lishmo, your intentions are for the sake of heaven, then it will become your crown. But if not, then it will go away from you, and it will become strange. You will become estranged from it. This is why the Torah writes it without a yud, even though it's pronounced with a yud. The Torah writes it, you know, in the way it should be read as Zar or Zor, but it's pronounced Zer. So what does Rabbi Yochanan tell us? That three areas of perfection, supreme perfection, were given to Klal Yisrael, and each one is represented in a different object of the Mishkan, and each one, the ultimate perfection, was given to a certain segment of the nation. The Mizbeach, the altar, that represented Kedushas HaKohuna, the sanctity of the priesthood given to Aaron and his family. The Shulchan represented the Kedushas HaMalchus, the sanctity of kingship given to David and his family. And Torah represents, excuse me, the Orem, the Ark, represents Kedushas HaTorah, and that was given to Kol Yisrael, whoever wants to come and take it. And that's the greatest of the other two put together. Similarly, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Ovis, where the Mishnah tells us, in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Dalet, Reb Shimon Aimer Gimel Ksorim Haim, there are three crowns, Keser Tera, Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus. But there, Reb Shimon adds, Keser Shem Tov Ol Al Gabehem. The crown of a good name is greater than all of the three. Now, for a greater insight into what we are learning here, the Maral Miprag explains in his Pirush HaNovis that these three objects in the Mishkan are representative and correlate to the three different parts of man. Man has a seichel. He was given a supreme intellect. And this intellect is something which is not physical, but it's attached to the spirit of man. it's spiritual. He was given a nefesh. A nefesh is the breath of life which is placed in man. And he was given a guf. The guf is the physical body and matter that he's made from. The guf, physical body and matter that man was made from, as it states, that man was formed, Yitzhar Adam, Ofra Min Adam, from the dust of the earth, from physical matter. The Mizbeach, the altar, which was exclusive to the Kahanim, this is representative of the guf, of the physical man. The Kahanim were specifically had an association with the altar, with the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach represented all of the korbonos, all of the sacrifices. And it was the Kahanim who were the ones who brought the sacrifices, and they were the main representatives and players in this area. Kuhuna, priesthood, what kind of kedusha did that represent? Maral says this represented kedusha saguf, the sanctity of the physical body. This is why we find that a Kohen is born a Kohen. When does he become a Kohen? And what does he have to do to become a Kohen? Nothing. He only has to be born. Once he is physically born, then he has Kedushas Kuhuna. He has the sanctity of Kuhuna. Because it's the sanctity of the human physical body. And this is why also the Torah tells us that hamumin paislin b'kuhuna. If there's an imperfection in the guf ha-kohen, in the physical body of the kohen, this is an imperfection and a disqualification in his sanctity. Generally, we do not find that. If a kohen has something wrong with an eye, he's missing an eye, he's missing an arm, he's missing a leg, this affects his kedusha, sanctity, and he's disqualified from many areas of the kuhuna, the balmum. Why should that be? It's only physical. Because the sanctity of the Kohen is built on physical sanctification. And therefore, the Mizbeach, the altar, is very much representative of it. Because what was the purpose of the altar? To take that what is physical and sanctify it to Hashem. Mizbeach HaKeteres, the altar of the incense. We took physical spices, physical incense, and brought it to Hashem. Or the korbones of the animals, physical animals were taken, and they were brought to Hashem, they were shechted, and they were burnt on the Mizbeach. Or menoches, physical wheat, grain, flour was brought, oil. It was the sanctification of the physical aspects of the world. This is why also that it's b'yerusha, it's an inheritance. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechet Nida that the father and the mother are the ones who contribute to the physical structure of the offspring. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives to the spiritual structure, but the physical structure is given by the father and the mother. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Nida and Daf Lamed Omed Beis. And therefore, what the father has physically, he can give to his son physically. If the father is a Kohen, and the Kohen is a physical sanctification, he can give to the son a physical sanctification. And therefore the son is born as a Kohen. One shouldn't wonder this, that we say that it's a sanctification at the physical level. Is there kedusha when it comes to physical man? Many times we think that the Kedusha is because there's a spirit in man. But from the physical aspect, is there Kedusha? The answer is very much so. And the proof is, because the Gemara tells us, why was man created physically? With shasa gidim, with 365 muscles and tendons. And why was man created physically? With ramach evorim, with 248 different organs. Because there are shasa mitzvahs leisaser, 365 negative commandments in the Torah. And the Ramach Mitzvahs Aseh, and 248 positive commandments in the Torah. And each physical aspect of physical man correlates with one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. See, here we see that not only is there sanctity in the spirit of man, but the actual physical structure of man was engineered in a way that it would be correlating to the spiritual Torah. This is Kedushas HaGuf, sanctity of the body. And this is what is meant in many perspectives, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man B'tzelem Elokim, in the physical image, even the physical image of man was created B'tzelem Elokim, accordance to the spirit of Hashem, not only the spirit of man. Now, the ultimate perfection of this is through the Kahanim. And the manifestation of this is through the Mizbeach, through the altar of the Mishkun. But they are the leaders in this. But this Kedusha was given to call Israel, except they are the ultimate supreme leaders in this. But from there we draw our Kedushas HaGuf, the physical sanctity. You open a few more windows. I think it's now we come to the maybe if you open some up. Now we come to the second level, and this was the Shulchan, the table, and we said that represented Malchus, kingship. And that was Zohar, merited by David HaMelech, King David, and his family. Now the Shulchan, the sages tell us, always is representative of power and wealth. As many times we have the expression, Kishulchan Malochim. This is a table which is fit for a king. Shulchan represented material power and material wealth. And therefore, the Shulchan is associated with Malchus, with kingship, because a king always is adorned with great power and great material wealth. This correlated to the second area of man, the nefesh. The nefesh is the spirit of life which man has. After he was made into a physical structure, he needed some life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him life. And that's called the nefesh. The source, the seat of that life, of the life which gives life to the physical body and gives movement and motivation to the physical body, is the lev, the heart. The heart is your central point. It takes the blood, nourishes the blood, purifies the blood, circulates it to every area of the physical structure of man and gives it its life. Why is this similar to kingship? Because just like the king is the king of a nation, so is the heart the king of man. Because the king is the manhig. He is the leader. He is the motivator. He's the mover. He's the initiator. He governs. This is the king. The greatest force in man, which moves man, which motivates man, which governs man, which directs man or inspires man, is the heart. This is the greatest force in man. And that's the power, that's where the power of chius, of life, comes from him, from. All of man's emotions comes from this chius and from the heart. And this is the greatest gevura, the greatest strength of man. Why? Because the body, physical body itself, is not a leader whatsoever. You take away the life, and it's daiming. It lies silent. Physical body moves, but does not move others. Does not move itself. It's not a force. The intellect, which is your supreme level in man, but because it's so supreme, and because it's so far above man, does not have the influence on the body that the heart has on the body. For example, man reacts much quicker to his emotions, and it's much more common that he reacts to his emotions than he reacts to his mind. He's supposed to labor that his mind will control his emotions. But the first reaction of man always is the reaction to his emotions. And therefore this is known as the king of man. And so is it true with a king of a nation. The king of a nation, we find many times, is called Lev. As it states, for example, in Mishlei Chof Beis, Lev Malochim Biyad Hashem. He is known as the heart, for that reason. Because just like the heart of man is the central mover and leader of man, so is the king the central mover of the nation. This is why the Torah was very concerned with the heart of a king. The Torah was concerned with everyone's heart, but in particular with the heart of the king. Because if the king is the heart of a nation, then the heart of a king is the heart of the world. And that's why the Torah gave the king extra mitzvahs, because it was concerned about his heart. For example, in Shaftim Yud Zayin, Posuk Yud Zayin, it states, "V'le'yar b'le'noshim v'le'yosu levavai." The Torah said, by other people, I'm not worried if they'll have many wives, but by the king I am, lest they will turn your heart. And if his heart is turned, then the whole nation will become turned, because he represents the heart of the nation. Al hasoras liboy kopid rachmono. And this is how the Rambam explains. The Rambam says, ki lev hamelech liboy shela'am. The heart of the king is the heart of the nation. And therefore, the Torah was very concerned about his hasoras, the turning of it. And the same we find that the Torah was very demanding on the king, that his heart should always be preoccupied with Torah. For that reason, everyone was commanded to have one Sefer Torah. The king was commanded to have two Sefer Torah. And it must go with him wherever he goes. So his heart will not be turned away from Torah, because if an individual's heart is turned away from Torah, it affects him and not the nation. But if the king's heart is turned away from Torah, it's going to affect the entire nation. Therefore, the shulchan, the table, which represents kingship, and was given to David and his family. This represented the perfection of the spirit of life that's in man. And we have to perfect not only and bring sanctity not only to the physical structure of man, but also to the heart of man and all of our feelings and all of our emotions. By kingship we find not a total inheritance, but a partial inheritance. For example, it states that if a king has a son who is roi, who's fit to rule, then he should inherit the throne. Pasha Shaftim, Laman, Yarich, Yomim, Al Mamlachtai, Hu Ubonav, Bekerav Yisrael. You, he and his children. So we find an inheritance, but not a total inheritance. Because many times the sons do not inherit. Someone else from the family will inherit. Or even if the son inherits, not all of the sons inherit, only one. The king has five sons, only one can become the king. So it's not a total inheritance. By kahuna, if a kohen has five sons or 10 sons, they all become kahanim. And whether they're fit or not, they are born kahanim. So the reason for this is because something which is totally physical, that the father can give over to the son. That's by the sanctity of kahuna. But here we're speaking about the sanctification of the spirit of life that's in man. That's not totally physical, but it's still part of man. So therefore we find a partial inheritance on it. If he has a son that's fit, then he's first. But not every son of a king becomes a king. Then we have the third part of man. That's the highest level. That's the seichel. That's the intellect which was given to him. The intellect and the power to understand great spiritual wisdom and secrets of the universe and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Representative of this was the Orem. Why? Because the Orem was made to hold the Ten Commandments, the Luchos HaBris tablets, and the Sefer Torah, shekosev by Moshe, the Sefer Torah which Moshe wrote. And where was the Orem placed? The other two, the Mizbeach and the Shulchan, they were placed in the Kodesh, in the first chamber. The Orem was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshi, in the most inner chambers, which was the Holy of Holies. So from here we see, firstly, the enormous level of the intellect which was given to man. With that intellect, he can understand Torah. He can become attached to Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But secondly, we see how far it's removed from him. Because in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Kodesh, in the first chamber, the Kohanim went in every day. Every day. They went in every day to bring Ketores, to bring incense to the altar. They went in every day to light the menorah, the candles were there. But the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they never went into. Only with the exception of Yom HaKippurim. And then it was only the Kohen Gadol, Aaron himself. Because the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, was off limits. It was too sanctified, too high. So from here we see not only the level of the human intellect, but we see how far beyond the person it is. This is why we find, one could ask a question. When you feel something with your hands, very seldom do you make an error. You can tell what you're feeling. When you see something with your eyes, So seeing is believing. Very seldom do you make an error. Or you hear. But when we want to make decisions with our minds, it's fraught with errors. Because that's a very, very high level, which is not totally in our control. Touch is in our control. Seeing, it's a higher level, it's also in our control. The thinking, the mind, is above us. And when we want to do something with the mind, we are groping at an enormous level. And therefore, even though most of the time hopefully we're right, but it can still be fraught with error. This was the tachlis of the Mishkan. The Oren was the purpose of the Mishkan. Because what was the purpose of the Mishkan? Like we read right in the beginning, Vosali Migdush Bishokanti Bisechom, make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. To bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, to make a home for him here. So this was the ultimate, this was the ultimate objective. And this was done through Torah. Because immediately after HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the building of the Oren, and on top of the Oren was what was known as the Kaporis, the Kruvim. These were the two images, golden images, of a little boy and a little girl who gazed at each other, and they had wings of an angel. So there it states, V'no'adati, in Posachov Beis, at the beginning of the Sedra, V'no'adati l'choshom, there I will meet you. Hashem speaking to Moshe, V'dibarti itcho, and there I will speak to you. Me'ala kaporis, from the kaporis which was on top of the Oren, mi'bein shnei akruvim, between the two images, my voice will come, asher al aron ha'edus, which is above the Oren, which held the testimony of the Torah. This is where I will come to meet you. The Mishkan was called Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed means it was the tent, the place of a permanent meeting place. When Moshe wanted to go speak to Hashem, he wanted to hear instruction, he went to the Mishkan. And where did the voice of Hashem come to? Right between the Kruvim, above the Oren. If the purpose was to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, we see this is where he came, through the Torah, through the Oren. Also, because its level is so high, Maral writes, this is why it could not be meyuchad, it could not be exclusive to any segment of the arm of the nation. Priesthood, that was a level which was within man. So it could be exclusive to one segment. Kingship, it was a level which was within the reach of man. So it could be exclusive to another segment. Torah couldn't be exclusive to any segment because it was above all people and above all segments. Recall someone who wanted, he had to go up to get it. Therefore, it had no exclusiveness. But call me Sheyirtze, Yove Vito. The Rambam writes, how? Oh, I have the wrong Rambam here. It's in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Gimel. It is there ready for all of Israel. As it states, Torah Tziva Lona Maisha Marosh Kielos Yaakov. It is inheritance for all Israel. Call me Sheyirtze Yova Vito. Whoever wants it, let him come and take it. How can he come and take it though? He can come and take it only through enormous labor. If he will labor a lifetime, Someone who wants to fulfill this mitzvah and wants to have this crown, he cannot preoccupy himself with other things. And he must not think that he can acquire Torah together with wealth and together with honor. He has to be prepared to give his life for it. As it states, Zos HaTorah Odom Kiyomus Be'ohel, someone who is ready to give his life for Torah in the tent of Torah, then he will acquire Torah. But this also, we understand, the Ramban brings in Parshas Vayechi from the Yishalmi, Ein Meishchin Malochim Kahanim. When we came to make kings, we were not to take Kahanim to make them kings. There was a period of time in history, Jewish history, where we had Kahanim for kings. That was during the time of the Hashmonaim, the victories of Hanukkah. But that was not how it was supposed to be. It says, Ein Meishchin Malochim Kahan. A Kohen cannot become a king, and a king is not supposed to become a Kohen. So they ask the question. A Kohen cannot become a king because he has one crown. He has the crown of priesthood. And a king cannot become a Kohen because he has another crown. He has the crown of kingship. One crown to a person. But we see by Torah not like that. We see a king can have also the crown of Torah. There's been kings who were great Talmidei Chachamim. A Kohen can have the crown of Torah. So then why can they not have these two? So Maral explains. He says someone who had a predisposition. He was predisposed to the ultimate perfection in sanctification. A physical man, like the Kahanim, cannot come to the ultimate sanctification of Kedushas HaNefesh, the sanctity of the breath of life in man. And the same thing vice versa. Someone who was predisposed to become the ultimate in kingship cannot become the ultimate in this physical sanctification. A Muchen Lazer cannot be Muchen Lazer. Just like you build things, you can build something that specializes in one area, but since it's engineered to specialize in one area, it cannot specialize in another area. And the same thing vice versa. So therefore, you do not take kings and make kahanim from them, and you do not take kahanim and make kings from them. But that's when it comes to the first two levels. But when it comes to Torah, Torah is beyond and above everyone. Encompasses the entire world, and it's above and beyond everyone. And therefore, it is not miuchedes l'shum adam. It is not exclusive or limited to anyone or any segment. And therefore, even someone who was predisposed to sanctification of the kahuna still can go and have his chelik in Torah. And the same thing with kingship. It's for this reason also that the Gemara says in Masechet Nedarim, Lamam lemetzinu b'nei talmidei chachomim talmidei chachomim. Why is it that we do not find always that the children of the wise of the Torah are not necessarily wise in Torah themselves? Sometimes we do. Sometimes the son of a Talmud Chochem is also a Talmud Chochem. The son of a Rov is also a Rov. Sometimes we do. But not necessarily so. Many times we do not find that. Why not? So the Gemara says, Mishum Shein Yerushalayim Torah, because there's no inheritance when it comes to Torah. We only find children acquire that, what the parents had, through inheritance. When it comes to Torah, there is no inheritance. Because, as mentioned, a father and mother can give over to the children what they physically had. Torah is not physical. And a father and a mother can give over to the children what is part of them. Torah is always beyond the person. Therefore, he cannot give it over to the children. Therefore, if you find children of Talmidei Chachamim that are Talmidei Chachamim, it's not because the father was a Talmud Chacham. It's because they acquired it on their own. That's why you can find many Talmidei Chachamim's children that are not Talmidei Chachamim. But not so with Kohuna. By Kohuna, all of the children are Kohanim. And even by kings, it stays in the family. Some become kings. This is also why the Gemara tells us in Masech Tehorius, on Yud Gimel, Melech Kedem Lekeim Godl. When it comes to priorities, you give priority to a king over a Kein Godl, because the sanctification of a king, which has to do with the Nefesh Odom, that's greater than the sanctification of the Kein Godl, which has to do with the physical sanctification. But Chochem, Kedem LeMelech, the Talmud Chochem gets priority before the king, because that has to do with Kedushas HaSeichel, the Kedusha of the intellect of man, that sanctification, and that's above all. And this also explains a Gemara which is very difficult to understand. The Gemara says, Mamzer Talmud Chochem, also in Horius, Mamzer Talmud Chochem, Kedem LeKein Godel Amoritz. If you have a Talmud Chochem, a wise person in Torah, but he's a mamzer, he was born from an incestual or an adulterous union. So from one aspect, he's a Talmud Chochem. A mamzer is a Yisrael, he's a Jew. He's obligated in mitzvahs. He's obligated to study Torah. So he went to yeshiva and studied Torah. And he became a great Talmud Chochem. But he's a mamzer. On the other hand, if you have a Kein Godel, Kein Godel is the Godel Meachov, the greatest of all of the Kohanim. So Kein Godel, who's nichnes lifnei lefnim, who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom Kippur, the most holy places. But he's an Amoritz. He's an ignoramus when it comes to Torah. The Kein Godel. Happened many times in our history. He's supposed to be a Talmud Chochem, but many times in our history it happened that he was an Amoritz, an ignoramus. Who gets priority? So the Gemara says, Mamzer Talmud Chochem Kodem. The Mamzer gets priority. Gemara learns it from a pasuk where it says, Yikorehi Mipnimim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Torah is more dear to me than Pninim. Pninim are pearls. The Gemara darshins, the word Pninim also means the innermost. Torah is more dear to me than those who go into the innermost chambers of the sanctuary, of the Mishkan, than those who go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol. Now why is this? Because the Mamzer, he has a great blemish, but at the physical level. He was born from a physical union that was not proper. Therefore, he has a great physical blemish. But he has Kedushas HaSeichel. He has Kedusha of the supreme intellect. He's a Talmud Chochem. While the Kein Godel has physical sanctification, but not the intellectual sanctification. And therefore, the Mamzer Talmud Chochem comes first. There's another Mishnah in Masechta Oveis, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Chof Beis, that states, Hakina va'ataiva va'akoved meitzina se'od mina olam. Kino is jealousy, envy. Taiva are physical desires. Koved, quest for glory and honor. If a person does not watch himself and govern and control himself properly, these will drive a person out of the world. They will destroy man. And we see this. We look at our world. You have kina. You have the envy and jealousy. Man between man, families between families, and nations between nations. Communities between communities. And it destroys man. You have taiva. Taiva's physical desires for eating, for drinking, for gold, for silver, for material wealth, for promiscuity, and leads the world astray. You have Hollywood, which has an influence on the whole world. What keeps Hollywood moving? Money. That's it, money. Stop the money. It's Hollywood, it's finished. Las Vegas keeps the world moving. What keeps it moving? Money. Except they sell what people are willing to buy. People are willing to buy. You have Sun City, our own Sun City. They sell what people want to buy. And it destroys the world. And then you have COVID. Quests for COVID Amaduma, for fictitious greatness and for glory and for undeserved honor. Kings and leaders have destroyed people and nations for this. So these three midas, these three qualities, the sages tell us, if not controlled properly, they will destroy man and destroy world like we see today. The Maharal explains that that Mishnah is very much entwined with the Mishnah we just learned. He says, if a person, firstly, a person has to sanctify himself physically. And the source of the power of the sanctification of one's body comes from the Kahanim, who were the ultimate sanctification of this, and which was represented in the Mizbeach, the altar, and the Korbonis, the physical sacrifices. If he does, then he reaches enormous heights. Kedushas HaKohuna, the sanctification, perfection of Kohuna. Sacrifices where you can take a lowly animal, a lowly piece of wood. Morris says even the wood that went on the altar had Kedushas HaKorban and had the sanctification of a sacrifice. You could take grain and it becomes sanctified. If he doesn't, though, what happens? If a person doesn't sanctify himself physically, perfect himself, then he is overpowered with taivas haguf, physical and material desires. For example, the lust to eat, the lust to drink, the lust for promiscuity. And this will destroy him, destroy his physical perfection, and it will drive him out of the world. This is why we find that the Kahanim in particular, they were given more mitzvahs than the rest of Israel, because they were the leaders in this area, b'zivugam, in their marriages, in their physical unions. There are certain women that we are allowed to have such a physical marriage or union with. They're not allowed to. Mitzvahs yisaidus were given to them. Or, for example, we find that a Kohen could not eat or drink certain foods that we're allowed to, benichnas lemikdosh, when they went into the sanctuary, because it would render them impure for the mikdosh, even though we were not cautioned on this at all. If a person lets this go out of control entirely, then the ultimate, greatest evil that he can come to in this area is Gila Reis. See, the ultimate. That of unions of adultery and incest. And that's a Yehorek Val Yavore. That's one of the Gimel Averes, the three Averes that man must give his life for before desecrating. So that's the Taiva. Then we have, we said that man had to sanctify his heart, the life blood that's in him, all of his feelings and his emotions. And the source for this was the Kedushas HaMalchus, the sanctification of kingship that was given to David and his family, who are known as the heart of the nation. And this is associated with the Shulchan, with the table which is in the sanctuary. If a person does, then he reaches great heights, like David HaMelech, King David. If he does not, then he sinks into the evils of ungoverned and unbridled emotions and feelings. And what happens? His heart fills up with hate, with kino, with envy and jealousy. Everything he or she sees, this is what they want. With sino, with hatred, anger, these are all feelings and emotions which come from the heart. Nekoma, revenge. Chemdo, desires of others. And this will destroy his heart, destroy his emotions. He'll become an emotional wreck and destroy the world, destroy him. And therefore the Torah told us, Le sosuru achre levavcha, be careful. Do not follow the whims, every whim of your heart, but sanctify your heart. And that's why the Torah was so concerned with the heart of David HaMelech and the kings. Lo yosu levavai, they were afraid that lest they will turn your heart if you will have too many wives, or that your mind and heart should be with Torah all of the times. The ultimate evil in this area, if it's left ungoverned, because I'll tell us the Shfichas Domin, it will lead a man to murder. Why? Because murder is not physical. The ultimate is the ultimate manifestation of it. But that's not what drives a person to murder. What drives a person to murder is hatred, is revenge, is jealousy. This is what drives a man to murder. And this comes from the nefesh. And then he kills the nefesh. So the ultimate that will lead a person to is murder. And this is the second of the three averes that man is obligated to give his life for. Yoreg, Val Yavo, before he desecrates. Then we have Kedushas HaSeichel, that he was obligated to sanctify his intellect, his intelligence and insight. And the source of this is in the Orem HaKodesh, and this was not given to any individual segment, but is Muchan Lechol, it waits for Kol Yisrael to come and take. Every Jew can come and do this if he's willing to, if he wants. The Rambam puts one condition, if he wants and he's willing to labor for it. If he does not do this, then what happens? The outgrowth will be, if he does not sanctify his intellect, will be the quest for glory and fictitious honor. Because COVID, The quest for glory and honor is something which is quite strange. When it comes to food, to eating and drinking and so forth, we know that's physical. When it comes to jealousy or anger, we know that's physical. What is the quest for honor? Excuse me, that we know that's emotional. What is the quest for honor? It's not physical. Is it emotional? Morale writes, it's not physical, nor is it emotional. It's rather intellectual. It's the intellect that strives for honor, and it's the intellect of man that's misanig, that enjoys. It's an intellectual enjoyment when a person receives honor. And that's why the Gemara tells us real honor is roi, is due to the Torah, v'leimdeho, and those who study it. As it states, kovet chachomim min cholu, honor that belongs to the sages of the Torah. But like we commanded in so many places, to give kovet to the Torah and give kovet to the chachomim, to those who study it. This is when a person is driven to false glory. This is the drive of the mind. It's not the drive of the emotions or the drive of the body, but it's the drive of the mind. And if he doesn't control it, it'll destroy him. The ultimate evil in this is Aveda Zorah, idolatry. Because what is idolatry? Idolatry is when someone who's false wants honor and others give honor to someone who's false. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to give honor to the creator of the world. Idolatry is to give honor to false creators. And that comes from the human mind. And like we find how many tyrants stood up in the world, be it the Caesars, be it Haman, be it Tsars, be it Hitlers, be it Napoleons, that claimed that honor is due to them. And people should serve them. And this is what they were reaching for. And they went and destroyed worlds. This is of the mind. And therefore, a person can sanctify himself physically. He can sanctify himself emotionally with wonderful emotions, emotions of simcha, of happiness, and of joy, and of goodness. And he can sanctify his mind with the pursuit of Torah and giving honor to the Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to those who are great in Torah. But if he does not, then the Mishnah teaches us Akina v'ataiva v'akovei meitzin es odem min ha'olam, that these three qualities, if they're left unguided, unbridled, they will drive a man from the world. He will become physically sick. He will become emotionally sick. He will become mentally sick until it destroys him. And all three have their sources here in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary. One final point. As I mentioned, that the Mishnah Novice adds the Shem Tov Ol Al Gabehem. Shem Tov, though, good name, is greater than all of this. What does that mean? There's a whole discussion and debates and confusion in this, because it says there's three crowns, not four crowns, and we only find three objects in the Mishkan that were related to this, not a fourth. And there's different answers to this. Morale says as follows. He says this is not a new crown. We've already had the three crowns. There are three and no more. And the greatest, as we said, was Torah. So then what is the Shem Tov? He says, but you must realize that the three qualities that we mention with the Shlesha Chelkei Odom, the three sections of man, he says, you must realize that man is not sections. He's not sections, he's not made up of sections. We just dissected him to understand him. But man is not an intellect, he's not a heart, he's not a body. Maybe in the laboratories he is, but that's not the man that Hashem created. Hashem took Ofer min Adomo, he took physical matter, he took a heart, he took a mind, and put all three together, and from there he created man. Now, he says, many times we find that you'll find someone who is great in physical perfection, but not in the other areas. Or great in emotional perfection, but not in the other areas. Or great in Torah, understands Torah wonderfully, but he lacks in heart, and he lacks in the sanctification of the body. He says, what he's done, he's perfected one chelik, one part of man. One part. But that's not man. Man, the greatness of man is in the ultimate perfections of all of these sections of man. We cannot sectionalize man. We cannot specialize only. Naturally, by everyone you'll find there's a little stronger point, there's a little weaker point. But he has to work on everything. He cannot just specialize in one area and neglect totally the other areas where he's nothing in the other areas. So therefore the greatest perfection of man is when he takes all of these areas and he pursues them. And he perfects all of the areas. Generally, he's ahead in one area perhaps than the other two. That's all right. But he has perfected all of the areas. Now, what is that called? In general terms, that's called Odom. Who did Hashem call Odom? He didn't call the heart the Odom. He didn't call the emotions the Odom. He didn't call the earth the Odom. He didn't call the intellect the Odom. It was only after he made them in its entirety, he called them Odom. He gave them a name. Why? Because Hashem Meir Al Etzem, Hashem Meir Al Klal. Because name is the identity of what you identify this person in particular and in totality. If a person was great in Torah, but that's all they said on him, that means he was great in Torah but nothing else. If a person was a great Kohen, but that's all they said on him, well, he was a great king, but that's all. See, emotionally he was great. Physically he was great. Mentally he was great. He says, that's not the greatest. When is he the greatest? When they say on that person, Reuven was a great man. Shimon was a great man. Because Reuven refers to all of Reuven. And Shimon refers to all of Shimon. Yitzchok refers to all of Yitzchok. And that's the name he leaves behind him. And that's El Al Gabehem. And that's greater than each one alone. Because that means he has synthesized all three. Well, that's Reuven. That's Shimon. No longer do we say he's good in this specialty. He's good in that specialty. Like a profession. This one is an outstanding engineer. This one is an outstanding scientist, and this one is an outstanding doctor, but nobody is speaking about what person he is. And this one, they say he's an outstanding person. Oh, now we're talking about something else. See? And that's what it states, Shem Tov Ol Al Gabehem. And it's interesting that the Gemara, the Medrash brings a proof that Shem Tov Ol Al Gabehem. How do we know Shem Tov is even greater?
So the Medrash says, Omar Reb Shimon Yochai, Choviv Shem Tov Me'aron Abris. We see that a good name is even greater than the Orem, which carried the Torah. Why? Because it states that the Aron Habris, the Orem went 3 days, an Orem which had the Torah, traveled 3 days before the camp. A 3-day journey. Why 3-day journey? Because it was supposed to be in front. Why wasn't it with the camp? This represented that Torah is always beyond and above us. Why not more than 3 days though? Because it's still within reach. So this was the Torah. But Shem Tov, a good name, he says, that goes Misefer Elamat Sefer, that goes from one end of the world to the other. If a person dies and he leaves a good name, that supersends all time and all space. You can have someone living 10,000 miles away and you hear about him here. You can have someone who lived 5,000 years ago and you hear about him now. Take Avraham Avinu. Who hasn't heard of Abraham? He lived thousands of miles away and he lived thousands of years ago. Yet it's transcended all physical limitations. Take the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who hasn't heard of Moshe Rabbeinu? Who hasn't heard of Yaakov? And he brings the pasuk, "Vayetze Shem David bechol ha'arotzos." The name of David Amelech went through all of the lands. Vashem nosam pachtei al kol ha'goyim, and all of the nations of the world had heard of him, and they had fear from him. So we see that a name, the ultimate name, is even above the specific. Limited, the specific, if one is only limited to one area of Torah. If they say that he was brilliant in Torah, but that's all they can say on the person, that means that he came to perfection in one area. But if they say on this person, like Abraham or like Moshe, that this was a great person, this was Moshe, this was Abraham, that's a different story. That's Shem Tov. Therefore, Shem Tov, the synthesis of all of these powers put together, is Eila Gabehem, is the greatest crown of all. These are the three crowns, the three areas of human sanctification and human perfection, each having their source in one of the Kelim, one of the objects of the Mishkan, and each having a particular leader in that area. Aaron, Akoin, Dovid HaMelech, but by Torah, that was given to all.
The Yeshiva Gedolah hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.